This is the world I want to live in. The shared world. As one of our old hymns says, giving, receiving, as love shows us how. In a week and a half, if all goes according to plan, I will get up that Wednesday morning and head to the airport and board a plane for St. Louis, Missouri. There, for the second time in 2 years, I will meet the other board members of the Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council, and we will have our annual meeting, gathering late on Wednesday, beginning and going through the week, the rest of the week. On Thursday morning, a woman by the name of Anne Greenwood from Berkeley, California, who I first met in the summer of 98, not in California, where we both lived at the time, but across the world in the Unitarian old country of Transylvania. That Thursday morning, Anne and I are set to lead worship to the rest of the board members. And so we will go down the hall where we're meeting on the second floor of a United Church of Christ seminary just outside St. Louis proper. And there in a corner of their chapel, we will find a little storeroom. And in that storeroom, we will find copies of the gray hymnal and our teal hymnal, which are there among religious worship materials from over 40 faith traditions from across the nation. The UCC folks decided long ago that their people, their graduates, their students, will need to have the tools to work in the multi-faith environment that the United States represents. And so we, as we set up to lead our worship, we'll go down the hall and find our own worship materials in another denomination's seminary. And what's the name of the seminary? Eden. Eden Theological School, UCC. Good folks there. And we'll feel at home because our materials are there. They have almost as many copies as we do here. I mentioned Anne and I met in the summer of 1998. We were on the bus to the village where we would be spending a week and a half, a village called Auckland. Sounds like Oakland, but it's not. And as the bus entered town, we stopped a few hundred yards away, and there, everyone in the village, most everyone in that village is Unitarian, came out at the village gate to meet us. And the members of their village band, wearing the traditional garb, were there with violins and all kinds of instruments, a little drum, a little horn. And the rest of the congregation was singing not one of their songs, but one of ours, Spirit of Life, except not in English, in Hungarian. Isten lelke. I can't do the rest. It's been 20 plus years. But it made us feel at home. It was great. These people really went out of their way to open their arms and their hearts and to receive us, which is, if you've traveled long and far, heartwarming in a way that you can't imagine unless you've been there. I hope all of you have similar stories of feeling welcomed, to being the recipients of absolutely generous hospitality. In the first service, it was a much smaller crew. I went around playing Phil Donahue, if those of you who remember that name. I'm dating myself when I suggest that. And we went around and people talked about the welcome they felt in this congregation, the welcome they felt when they were in an Arab country during Ramadan and they were weary. And even though it was daylight, and the tradition in Muslims land is to fast until sunset, they gave her a feast. And another had been at a retreat center just last month, and he spent 4 days centering himself, and there was no expectation of him writing a check for that time. He was available. He was offered the opportunity to, but it was not required to have that kind of hospitality. Giving, receiving, as love shows us how. Offering hospitality is a choice. It's also an art form. I don't feel like I'm a particularly good student of that art form. I invite people in this congregation into my house about once a year for at least the last few years, the annual Eggs with Eric and Ann auction item. We can only hold as many people. It'll sit around the table. And boy, it takes about a week and a half to get the house ready. And, you know, I really enjoy myself for those 2 or 3 hours with all of you, but I am hell to live with during the week and a half before that. Ask Ann, she'll tell you. And so I keep doing it because I need to practice being a host. And when I practice being a host, I realized how important that practice is. And it's important to remember the times when I have needed that hospitality as well. I don't know about you, but I've spent most of the last decades of my life trying to build up and feel confident, feel capable as a person, and not feel like I lead with vulnerability. And yet I realize that in order for me to be the hospitable host, to offer the welcoming that I want to, I need to realize something important about myself, and that is I don't have all the answers. And other people, and as an introvert, this is especially important for me to hold on to, other people who I haven't met yet may have stories that illuminate part of my life and my longing that I haven't figured out yet. And so I realized long ago in ministry that the most important person to me as a minister serving a congregation is the next person that comes through the front door. Because I need them. I need their attitude. I need to know why they came here, what their need that they're trying to get met is. Because the magic in that is that it will inform my own life as well. And when I realize that, on those rare occasions, rarer than I'd like to admit, I'm a better minister and I'm a better person. As simple as that. Giving, receiving, as love shows us how. So my job, my practice, is to keep the doors to my heart and self open. To always be curious about the stories the next person will have to share, giving greater light to my own and greater understanding. If that resonates with you, do the same. Do the same. Keep those doors open. Thank you.